Oh, I see how it is.
This is the official 2023 jersey of the Philadelphia Eagles today.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Buddy. I mean, I'm a little disappointed with this game from the other day. So you could see I'm being me. We're gonna start right off with this freaking game, dude, because I'm not thrilled with it. But I want to just bring something up for you to take a peek at real quick. All right.
All right. I'm waiting.
What is that?
He doesn't have the shoulder pads.
What?
He doesn't have the shoulder pads. The hand's pulling down on the jersey. You don't have the shoulder pads. The NFL actually reviewed it and said because what they were worried about was the horse collar from the back that you don't have pictured here. And it was not considered a horse collar because he was being dragged down by the front. You are allowed to grab the jersey. You are not allowed to get hooked inside of the shoulder pads in order for a horse collar to be called.
See, I'm not a fan of that. I don't like this dude. Tony Romo lost his mind on the broadcast. Oh, I was even shocked as to why that wasn't called, at least even a holding. There was nothing there. So I did keep my end of the bargain. I'm wearing an Eagles jersey, just not the jersey you think it should have been.
I mean, that's pretty ugly. But
it is ugly.
But this is the way I look at it. And the same way I looked at it from the Super Bowl is if you let the refs do it, that game should have never came down to that. You guys all definitely totally should have still won that game. You should have
100%
had your chances.
Many times. I was really upset when Davis – I wish Josh Allen would have held that ball for another second. That ball would have went flying. And if Davis would have turned the other way, the game's over. I mean, so many opportunities we had to – and we blew it. We blew it. So, you know, and you guys, again, found a way to win the game. So, kudos to you. I mean, it was – in my opinion, it was the game of the year that I've seen. Josh Allen, even though we lost, was the best player in the league last week. He did fantastic. But you guys just found a way to beat the crap out of us, and it was a great game.
For a quarter and a half.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know, you destroyed us. We're playing with some fire. But like you said, we are finding a way to win. It might not be pretty, and it might be a little lucky.
Right.
You know the saying, it's better to be lucky than good.
100%. And you got every team's going to get lucky at some point in the season. It's a long season. I know it's a lot of games, and there's going to be some luck that's going to be, you know, involved in your life to get through that stuff. So again, kudos to you guys. I'm still a little heartbroken over it. It's going to kill our chance to get in the playoffs. So Novoa's like my shirt already.
I just saw Aaron.
Bill, it's a custom, Bill. You can have it when I'm over, man.
It's ugly. I know it. I've seen so many memes. And now if it got called, if that did get called the other way, I wouldn't have been mad about it either. I get it. But again, you know, the refs didn't miss those two field goals. The refs didn't miss that throw that 100%. Whoever, whether it was Allen. Now, Allen played amazing, just like when the Cowboys played the Eagles a couple weeks ago. Dak played amazing.
Yeah.
So, what's going on, Cameron? Cameron says hi.
Cameron. All of it.
But we just found a way to win. We found a way to – and Jalen Hurts shows no emotion. It's so crazy. When we were doing well, he's just sitting there, you know? And then when we were getting our butts kicked, and he just has the same demeanor about him.
Yep. And no, he was great. You guys did good. I mean, you beat us. It's what it is. The game's over. I can't blame the refs. I mean, this is mostly a joke, but I'm a little upset that that call was not called. But again, that wasn't the game. There were so many other opportunities to win the game. And I love when fans try to get on there and blame the referees, although the NFL's rigged. No, you know what? You're getting paid millions of dollars. You got to make the plays. It's not the referees. There's sometimes when, yeah, it might affect the outcome, but it's not their fault on purpose.
Yeah, and Scoobs made a great point. That kick from Jake Elliott, that 59-yarder. Oh.
In the rain?
I had a bowling. We had to move a week. We had to bowl Sunday instead of Monday because lanes broke down, all this other stuff. So I was at the bowling alley. And when that kick went up, I just screamed in the whole bowling alley. People were in the middle of their league. I started yelling. I didn't care. And then when I don't know if you saw Brandon Graham when we lost the when we lost the coin toss. Brandon Graham said, "It don't matter. It don't matter."
Yeah,
because we were just gonna. He had the confidence.
No doubt. The
confidence that they had. But it almost did matter because you guys had that play, one throw. I was
ended it. Yeah, I was really upset by it, but it is what it is at this point. You know, it's our own fault, and we got to hopefully win a few more games, and hopefully some teams lose and we get in. I don't see it happening though. I think it's going to be a really long shot. We make the wild card.
Now, how's your remaining schedule looking?
It's horrible. We got Kansas City next week.
And then you have Dallas coming up, don't you?
Yep. As well? Yeah, we have a really tough schedule ahead of us. It's going to take a lot of luck to win this stuff out.
I'm going to be cheering for you that time.
Game. See, now maybe we can watch the game together and be on the same page.
But the Eagles have another tough game today.
You got the Niners, right?
Yes, we have the Niners. And I'll do a little Eagles chant. So we go E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles.
Wow.
Yeah, baby.
Wow. So what do you think? All right, we'll talk about the Niners real quick. What do you think of Brock Purdy? I think he's a little overhyped. I think he's over his head.
I don't know. He hasn't proven. He had a couple of bad game stretch today, or this year, like those three games where he had a really bad three game stretch there. But other than that, he's been playing well. I think he's a system quarterback. I think their coach takes and can make almost any quarterback look good.
Right.
But that's not a bad thing. He's doing what he's being asked to do. He's correct. Not trying to do too much.
And I'm not saying he's a bad quarterback. I think he's young and he needs some more time to develop. I know people were losing their minds when he lost a few games there, but I mean, he was undefeated in the regular season until this year. I mean, he lost the playoffs obviously, but I think he's a decent quarterback. I just think they're hyping him up a little too much. He's too young. They're putting too much pressure on him.
Yeah. I think the Scoobs made another good point. He reads the defenses pretty well, but when the pressure's on, he struggles.
Yeah.
But that's part of being young.
It's young, right. It needs time to develop that stuff. Cameron, how much money you got in the game today?
That's one thing I have never gotten into. I know the gist of gambling, but I'm not much of a gambler.
I won't drive down that rabbit hole. That's too much.
There's too. Because, again, all intents and purposes, the Eagles should have lost against Kansas City and the Bills. But
right.
We didn't because we found that way.
Yep, you guys did great. We'll see how it goes today for you.
Yeah, and then when he missed his tackle, he was missing. I like that Tom's point. Tom, I think, aren't you a Niners fan? I think he's a Niners fan, if I remember correctly. Also, their team's healthy.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's going to be a big thing. Yep. Yeah, Tommy
is a Niners fan.
I thought so. That's going to be a big game, Tommy. You want to have a jersey bet? I mean, I don't have a Niners jersey. We're going to
don't do it.
I'm going to push my luck. Let's see.
Don't do it.
I don't know.
Actually, I'd love to see you wear a different color. So that'd be awesome if you did do it.
Never. I mean, if I lose, for sure, I'll pay up. I mean, not quite like you, you know, slacker.
You know me, I'm creative.
But
so, I'm surprised you didn't pick up on the hints I was throwing all down this week in the group chat.
Oh, I had a feeling you were going to do something.
Small bet with a buddy, only $100. All right, that's not bad. Yeah, if you lose, borrow from your dad.
Small bet with a buddy. Only $100, guys.
That's all.
Just $100, not big money at all. But while we're on that topic, guys, you're talking about the Eagles, you're talking about the 49ers, Tommy Matthews' big team over here.
Yeah.
Why don't we get your predictions for this game before we stroll on to some other topic?
All right.
I'll let you do this one.
Right, well, I want to hear what you have to say too.
It's pains me to say this, but I think the Eagles are going to win. I really do. I think the inexperience of the team with Purdy and Debo just getting back and finally getting healthy, I just think that the Eagles are going to win the game. They're just on a steamroller. So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm doing this to jinx them on purpose, but I think the Eagles are going to win.
Cameron, shh, don't tell anybody. So I'm thinking it's going to be another tight game. Again, the Eagles need to play. It depends on what Eagles team shows up. If the second half, quarter and a half, Eagles show up for a full game, I think we're going to do well. I think it's going to be I don't know how high scoring it's going to be. I am a little nervous about our secondary. Purdy tends to get the ball out fast, quick. That's going to be a little tough. But if our line does what they did last year against them, I mean, I don't want to ever hurt them, but get to them and cause some disruption, I think we stand a good chance. I'm going with 28-24 Philly.
Okay.
Philly, baby.
That works. So we'll stay on the topic of the football because I know you're big with the CFB stuff. So do you want to talk about – we touched that we're going to discuss the college football playoffs and the format, and I know you've been following pretty close with the chaos that's been ensuing with that, the upset last night with Alabama. So do you want to go ahead and give us your take on what you think should be going on here and what's going to happen today?
So there's two different ways to look at it, in my opinion. There's most deserving – and the best teams. So what I wanted to happen pretty much happened. I wanted Bama. I'm not a Bama fan. I'm Notre Dame all the way. I love your hat, by the way. But I just wanted to see the chaos just to give me a talking point for the podcast today, to be honest with you. If nothing else. And the fact that I was hoping Oregon would pull that one off to make complete chaos, but that was a really close game Friday night. Did you see like any of that game Friday?
Yeah, it was Washington and Oregon, yeah.
Yeah. But Washington pulled it out and beat them twice, so Oregon's out. I don't think Oregon has a chance at the top four for the college football playoffs. There's a case for the top four. Obviously, Michigan's going to be number one since Georgia went down. I honestly think that's pretty much a lock. Washington, I think, is going to be number two undefeated. Now, this is where it comes to the question in the chaos. Number three, who are you going to put at number three and four? Are you going to keep the SEC completely out of it? Are you going to just have one team from the SEC in? Are you going to have Florida State with a backup quarterback jump in? They're undefeated. They are, I think, when it comes to deserving, I think they deserve it. They beat who's in front of them.
Right. So I don't want to cut you off. We were discussing this, and while you're on the topic of Florida State, I'm of the opinion the team wins. The team wins together. It doesn't matter if their starting quarterback or second string quarterback goes down. And if they're going to penalize them because their quarterback is not available to play, I don't think that's cool. You know what I'm saying? You understand where I'm going with this?
I absolutely get that.
The team got there, and if their third-string quarterback still won the game yesterday, but they're going to say, well, you're not as good because you don't have this player, that's crazy. That's just like – I'm going to use an analogy with the Patriots when Drew Bledsoe went down and Tom Brady took over. Look how that worked out. You can't judge the team based on one guy. You know,
a few years ago, look at Ohio State. You had their starter go back and Cardale Jones – or go down and Cardale Jones came in and took them to – and they won the national championship.
Right.
So I completely understand that. I get that. But the problem is, and a lot of people are saying – so my personal top personal top four, if it was my choice, it would go Michigan number one, Washington number two, Texas number three, and then Florida State number four. Leave the SEC out of the college football playoffs. The problems that come with that is money. SEC is the best conference in football. SEC beats up on each other. They play the toughest schedule. The toughest teams are in the SEC. So the other issue is are they going to let Georgia or Bama get in over Texas or Florida State?
So we're going to look at last week's rankings, and you tell me what's going to change, what you think should happen.
So I think Georgia's going to fall down to number five, is my opinion. Joe Sutton actually sent me a link earlier today with ESPN's top four. Their power rankings are the rankings I just said after this week. But number two, I think, should go to number one. Number three should go to number two. Number four should stay the same. And Texas should jump up from number seven all the way up to number three, because that was a huge win that they had. But the issue is are we really going to leave the SEC out of the college football playoffs?
Could you imagine the uproar if the SEC got left out of this?
Mm-mm. Exactly.
Have we ever seen that?
No.
And another thing that could happen is they could knock Texas out. They could knock Florida State out and have two SEC teams in. They could still keep Georgia in and Alabama, because Alabama beat Georgia. So do one Michigan, two Washington, three Alabama, and four Georgia, and then knock Florida State completely out because of their quarterback situation. I think it's absolute chaos, and that's what I kind of wanted just to see. But it's going to be interesting to what they value, because they say they value head-to-head when they're trying to figure out the top four. And Texas beat Alabama. Alabama beat Georgia.
Right. This is one of the reasons why I say I hate this playoffs format, because there's just too much stuff to dissect. There's no clear-cut way to do it.
What they value most is money. And
no doubt.
That's what it comes down to. That's the bottom line. And you know, you watch, you guys know damn well, Georgia and Alabama are both going to be in it. Both of them, because they are going to bring the most money.
Yeah, they'll lose too much money if they don't.
That's just what it comes down to.
But Texas is making a comeback. Texas is making a comeback money-wise, and they are going to be uproared if Alabama's in and they're not. They are going to – so is Florida State with the ACC. That means ACC, which is a Power 5 conference, isn't going to have any representation. So
do you have any idea on how to fix the system? What do you think it should be, or do you like the way it is now?
I almost like the old BCS way, to be honest with you.
Which is what?
It was all computerized. It takes the human element out of it, because I think what they're doing is they have 20-some people in a room watching a bunch of football, and they put things like what Corey just said, money, in what they're trying to decide what to do. They're putting other things in. It should be best, like BCS is best too. The problem is they're going to number, I think, 12 teams next year for the playoffs.
Right.
Because of money. So then this won't be an issue if they go to 12 teams. You know, you might have a couple issues with number 12. Who's number 12? Who's going to get in? Who's not going to get in there? But it's not going to be as only four teams make the playoffs right now.
Right.
So I almost like the BCS, which is computerized, best records, best two teams in. The problem is there's, for this year, there's three undefeated teams. And at that time, they didn't do a playoff. It was before the playoffs. They did the top two teams. But the one year, the issue and the reason why they switched it was Auburn had an undefeated season and didn't make the championship. That is why they switched it, made top four teams, switched it to a committee, because the committee is – decides the top four teams. But the problem is are they going to do deserving, or are they going to do the best team, the best games? Because the issue is, as much as Florida State deserves it, they definitely deserves it. They beat all the teams. They're a Power 5 conference champion. They're undefeated. They have not lost. But do you really think they're going to beat Washington, Michigan?
How do you know?
Texas? Watching a lot of football, those teams are just – but I – like they're on another level.
Just like the title of the movie, Any Given Sunday. Any day, anybody can beat anybody. You don't know until you do it.
The problem is then the last two or three years, the semifinal games have been terrible. It's been blowouts, and then you get one good game, the two best teams in the land facing each other. And again, I really think they are going to, like Corey brought up, I think they cannot leave the SEC out because of money.
It'd be an uproar. They cannot, 100% correct. Pure chaos would ensue.
So the ESPN Paul Feibom show would be absolutely crazy, because that's a big SEC college football radio show. They would be in an uproar. I definitely want to watch that if they do leave the SEC out of it. I don't think they will. I don't think they can. But no. The problem is are they going to like leave Georgia out of it, the two-time defending national championship that have lost one game in the last 3 years?
True.
So how's that? Like, okay, so they had one game that they lost, that these kids lost. Granted, they lost half of the Georgia Bulldogs play for the Philadelphia Eagles now. But but they're still a nasty team. Right. Those bodies, those men on that field are on a whole nother level. And I just don't think Florida State has the recruitment that Texas has. Washington, Florida State might be a pretty good game, but Michigan will. But I think if Georgia and Alabama get in, I think they could have best games. I think Georgia and Alabama get in. If you were going for just best games, the best TV ratings, the best games, the best, most money, they'll have two SEC teams into the mix.
They have to do that anyway. It's going to be too much of a pain in the ass if they don't. Everybody's going to, like Corey said, lose their mind.
But then my bleeding heart of a man is, what about Florida State? Like, it isn't just one person. It isn't
right.
Football in general is a team game. I know they put those stats on quarterbacks and stuff like that. Even Joe just pointed out Florida State's D is on that level, but I just don't think they have a chance offensively to stay with anybody, especially with their quarterback that got hurt. Their quarterback, I think they would have a chance.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I just don't think it's fair that they're going to penalize them because this kid's a third-string quarterback. It's just not cool. There's got to be a better way to come up with a system for this. You know, I don't know what it is. I wish I had a magic crystal ball in front of me to tell you what it would be, but there's got to be some other way to fix this than having a bunch of people getting into a room and basically having a popularity contest.
Now, I know you're not big into as big into college football as I am.
Right.
What do you think, just going without not penalizing the team for not having their quarterback, because they will have their second string quarterback back, which still won two games. Only reason why, and it beat Florida, an SEC team, last week, but he got knocked out with a concussion. He got a really hard hit. That's the only reason why he didn't play last night. And I think that actually hurt them because the committee didn't get to see that backup, that second string, at another game, but they still beat a top 25 team in Louisville last night. But what four do you think out of those? And then the other issue is, so if Alabama comes in, they're number 8 right now. Like, if we pulled up those other rankings, they were number 8. No team is ever out of the top 6 in the last week before championship weekend made the playoffs.
Oh, okay.
So only in the top 6. So the top 6, you had Georgia, Washington, Oregon was 5, but Oregon's getting knocked out because, you had Georgia, Michigan, Washington, Florida State, Oregon, Ohio State. Now, Ohio State didn't play. So, do they get to jump up? I mean, they did lose to Michigan.
They lost to Michigan. Michigan should be in it regardless. That's the only one absolutely. I think I'm really in agreement with you on is Michigan should be in there.
And Washington.
Washington.
Yeah.
But the other two? I don't know. I don't know what I don't know what the solution is. I don't like it. And I'm gonna keep repeating that, so I'm blue in the face. I'm just pissed that they're trying to penalize Florida State over that. And I'm gonna do an analogy. Like, so say the Eagles clinch first round by home field advantage to the playoffs, okay? Last game of the year, Jalen Hurts ruptures his Achilles and he's done. Do you take the one seed away from the Eagles now because Hurts is gone?
Well, NFL's a whole nother story. NFL's,
but it's the same concept though.
And we have Marcus Mariota, please. He's got this.
Oh my God. Okay.
but also on that level though, for going with football being a team game, me being a huge Jalen Hurts fan, he got outplayed by Dak Prescott when they played. He got outplayed by your boy last week, Allen. And we still won because it's an overall team game. And hey, where's your actual Eagles jersey? You took it off?
What's yeah, it? Yeah, I took that off. I'm tired of looking at it.
It was beautiful.
I've
never seen you look so beautiful besides when you had that big thing, that big Eagles on your chest.
There was no set time frame. I just had to wear it. We didn't say for how long.
Oh,
and it's okay. It's really hot in this room, so I was sweating.
That was so, because you're in an Eagles shirt. That's why it was so hot.
Yeah, in that I was room. Nervous. So, all right. So, okay, Gore, what's up?
This is the big thing that kills me with college football is you guys are talking about, you know, it's difficult to punish a team because that quarterback's not going to be there. You know, don't punish a team for that. It's not just that quarterback that put in the work, put in the time, put in the effort to get to where they were. They're forgetting about the rest of the team. 100%. All the other guys that put in the blood, sweat, and tears to get to where they are. Is a quarterback one of the most important people on that field? Abso-fucking-lutely. But is that the main reason they're there? Nah, man, he has that supporting staff. And it all comes down to money. And this is also why I think that they're not going to really come up with... There really is no good solution for the college football playoff system. And the reason is it's on too grand a scale. There are too many teams, and they want to try to include everybody. Like, you have all the different conferences and all the different conference championships. And then you, honest to God, you only have a handful of schools that can really compete on that next level out of all of those schools. So trying to come up with a system to benefit the teams themselves is not, you know, try to get our best games, the best teams, the most fair way to do it. You're gonna have so much trouble doing it. You really are.
No doubt.
Like you said, to your point, Corey, when they go to 12 teams, yeah, they'll give more teams a chance, but they're going to get demolished, destroyed. Yeah,
it's going to be a disaster. It's going to be a disaster next year. And you do want like the any given Sunday kind of feel. You want to be able to have the opportunity for the underdog to come through. But it's in football, it's different than in a sport like baseball. You know, baseball is a marathon. You know, football, it's so much different. And the skill level is so much different, too.
Oh,
yeah. That's just my two cents.
No, to go with that. So I years and years and years ago, I played up in Rochester, New York, played semi-pro football. Okay. I made the all-pro team, was, you know, like for the league, you know, like I was considered pretty good. I went up against, I cannot remember the man's name. We were in our championship game. The guy just got cut by the Jacksonville Jaguars. Third string, didn't see the field, didn't, you know, I was defensive end. He was tackle. I did not come within 15 yards of that quarterback that game. And he's a third stringer that never. So it is a whole nother level of competition. Just men that I'm considering myself strong, up fast, even at the size I was at that time. But it's a whole nother level. And there's only so many schools that can actually get those guys. I'm a Notre Dame fan. We've been better recently, but we're not going to allow Georgia, Alabama. We've seen them when we played in Alabama, I think 5 or 6 years ago for the national championship. They demolished us. They took us apart. Mm-hmm. And that's Notre Dame, a storied school, yeah. You know, that everyone who my favorite place to go, my favorite campus. I went there once for a game and beautiful. People want to go there, want to go to that school. And they right now they don't stand a chance. Like, I think Washington even is going to get destroyed when they go up against Michigan, or if they have to go against Alabama or Georgia, if Alabama or Georgia make it in. They just, the level is different. Those boys at Georgia, those men at Georgia. Those men. Men. I'm a man, and then there's a man.
So when are the finals?
Corey's the closest one with that beard. I mean, out of all of us.
When is the final rankings going to be released?
Right after we're done, pretty much today at noon, I believe.
It'll be set at noon.
Yeah, noon. I don't know how long they usually release it. Pretty fast
after 12. Okay.
Yeah, noon is when they. Joe remembers what year? 2012. When Notre Dame, fellow Notre Dame fan there. But yeah, they release them today at noon, and I don't know. I can't wait to see what they're gonna do.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see and how it plays out. It really will be.
And like you said, I don't know how to fix it because money, if SEC is left out of this thing, but Florida State, those guys, those men in the trenches, those offensive linemen, defensive linemen that poured their heart into the season and they get left out, you know, not that I don't feel bad for Georgia and Alabama and those men too, that just are monsters as well, but they lost. Florida yeah. State didn't.
Right.
They beat who was in front of you. How can strength of schedule, how can you, like, granted, SEC is a much better conference, but how is it fair that the ACC champions, Power Five conference, beat everybody in front of them?
Right.
They beat every team that they put. And even last night, with their third string quarterback, they beat a top 25 Louisville team that only had two losses.
Oh, wow.
So they've earned it. I just don't know. I just don't see how they're going to get in. And I think they're going to weigh the quarterback situation and keep them out. I hope they don't. I told you my top four includes Florida State and keeps the SEC out, but I just don't see it happening.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how it shapes out after this is all said and done, and maybe later on we'll jump in and we'll chat about that when it's all released. So, I don't know. You want to move on to the Baseball Hall of Fame ballot for this year and see Absolutely. What we got going on there and I've chat about enough. That a little bit. No, it's great. Great, man. I'm like I said, I'm learning from you with this stuff. I don't really, you know, that the college football to me is what, like reading a Greek magazine. I have no idea what it says. So, I mean, I'm cool with that. So, but yeah, let's talk a little Baseball Hall of Fame ballot. Did you happen to see who's on there?
Yes. I looked at some of the, now according to this thing, I've seen it's 10 years, right? And then it goes to the
Veterans Committee. Yep.
Veterans Committee, right?
Yeah, there's a few chances afterwards. There's nobody really on this outside of Billy Wagner that I'm really thinking has got a clear shot to get in. And I know Billy Wagner's on his ninth year on the ballot. I don't know why they make some of these guys wait so long. A-Rod, obviously, I don't think is ever going to see the light of day in there just because of the steroid allegations. The thing that kills me with him is he was a great player before he was even on the juice, unless he's been on the juice his whole career. But that dude could have been in just like, and I know Barry Bonds has never been proven guilty of any of that stuff, but there's a lot of speculation surrounding him. I think Barry Bonds is like an Alex Rodriguez. He had the raw talent to get in. He doesn't need the performance enhancing drugs to get there. And he should have been a surefire Hall of Famer from the get-go. I mean, unfortunate for who?
For any of those guys. What's your stance?
So
I want to hear it. Go.
I know it's hard to put this into words. I'll go back to the summer of 98. Okay. McGuire and Sosa, the height of that crap that saved baseball after the strike in 94. Okay. Here's the glitch. Here's the bitch of this whole thing. McGuire admittedly did Andrew. Okay. It was not illegal at the time. There was no thing preventing McGuire from using that drug. Now, should he have been using it? No. But there was nothing saying, you cannot use this. You can't use that. They started doing the testing shortly after that, and then it was illegal. But can you imagine the state of the game right now if we didn't have that summer? I mean, that was, to me, was one of the best times to watch the game. Everybody was watching those two teams, and the Cubs were a small market team at that point. Mm-hmm. No one's paying attention to him. Sammy Sosa just came out of nowhere. I mean, he wasn't even in the conversation until he hit like 20-something home runs in June. You know, it was all McGuire and Ken Griffey Jr. So, you know, would I vote for those guys necessarily? I would. I think they should have a separate part of the Hall of Fame where they're going to do this steroid era, whatever. They have every other era in the Hall of Fame. You know, they got sections for every – they got women's leagues in there. They got the Negro leagues in there. You know, they have all different kinds of stuff, the Olympics. So why not give them a little small blurb in the area? Okay, these guys, you know, whatever it is, but I don't know. Babe Ruth, and if we're gonna go by what's the word I'm looking for, integrity of the game, Mickey Mantle was a drunk 90% of the time. He's in there. Babe Ruth made his living on beer and hot dogs. I mean, he's coming to the game hungover. And I'll even use a recent guy, David Wells, admittedly said he was hungover when he pitched his perfect game in 98. Like, these guys do all kinds of crazy shit because they did drugs and they're not allowed in there. And I don't care how big you are and how strong you are. to hit a baseball that is round with a round bat and hit it square is impossible to do. I don't give a shit what pill you're on. You could drink Michael's Secret stuff from Space Jam for whatever the hell you want to call it, but you're it's impossible to do with a pill. I'm sorry. It's hard. That's the hardest thing to do in sports.
Oh, I agree. I just in our little softball world, because I was never nearly as good as you and Corey were back in the day with baseball. I play in two leagues, the Wednesday Night Beer League that you played in with me, and then a fast pitch. It is so much harder to hit the fast pitch, to hit that, to do that.
Yes.
And to hit it squarely anyway. I can hit it. It's just going to be pop-up.
You can hit a foul tip. You can hit a grounder.
But I don't think any juice can get you to square up on the ball. And little tidbit on Corey, Hornet foot single. I don't know if he remembers that, but
he's laughing. He got it.
Yeah, I know he is. I had to one of the monster shots I've ever seen that man hit, and it hit the top of the freaking fence. But anyway, I could never master that, and I don't care how big you are. I agree with you 100%. One trip I need to make. I've never been to the Baseball Hall of Fame.
We're gonna go after the new year. You and I are gonna take a drive. And we're going to go up there. And even if Corey wants to tag along, I go at least twice a year. I'm a member of the Hall of Fame just so I can go up there whenever I want and get in. I love it up there. And the memberships are cheap. You get free admission. You can bring guests with you. So we can make a road trip and do that. I want to touch on Cameron's comment and Joe's. Cameron said we should have two different leagues. And I think that's a fantastic idea. Let these guys roid up and see who goes to watch it. I mean, I would go in a minute. You know, and you know damn well in that league, Bartolo Colon would still be pitching. I love that dude just for the entertainment value. Mm-hmm. But to see him and all these guys like Ichiro, and I'm not saying Ichiro did steroids, but at 51 years old, that guy can still play. I was watching a video of him the other day. That guy's incredible. So I would love to see a league where you let some of these older guys or even the new kids, they want to start juicing up and let them hit bombs. Go for it. I'm not going to sit anywhere near home plate. Unless there's a fence, because I don't want to get creamed by one of those balls. But and Joe is right too. The Hall of Fame is the best ever in your time period. It doesn't matter what you did. You're the best at your game. Barry Bonds, in my opinion, is the best hitter that's ever played a game that I've ever seen. And I know everybody's going to say, well, Ted Williams had a better batting average. Barry Bonds was a scary mofo every time he came up to bat. They would walk that guy constantly with the bases loaded because they knew he had a chance to destroy you any chance he had a chance to do that. So
going back to your comment before, because I wanted to let you just go because I like seeing you like this. but going back to I was never in the – like I love baseball. Don't get me wrong. I fell more in love with some of these new rule changes and stuff like that. And I watched it with Corey growing up watching – the Braves and stuff like that. But I remember rushing home from school to see Sammy Sosa or Mark McGwire or Barry Bonds hit to see if they hit that home run. I remember them cutting into live feeds to put Barry Bonds on to see if he hit his home run.
Yep.
I have to jump in on this conversation. I can't just sit on the sidelines because
go ahead, buddy.
This is super fun to me, and you guys touched on the exact thing that I say all the time to people. It doesn't matter how strong you are. It takes skill to hit the ball over the wall. You can swing as hard as you want, but a ground ball, if people were roiding up and hitting ground balls, no one gives two shits. They don't.
Yep.
It takes skill. They belong in the Hall of Fame. That's what I'm going to say. You want to put an asterisk next to it? That's fine. You say put them in their own little wing, their own little section. You can, but I say they're in. I say just put them in, put an asterisk next to them. That's it. And then you bring up the people from yesteryear. The OGs, the purest baseball fans are going to love those guys and hate on the steroid era guys. The people that hate the bat flips love Babe Ruth. But like you said, Babe Ruth was a drunk. He was all about booze.
He was
and
a
hot
horrible
dogs,
human being.
Wasn't Ted Williams like that too?
And he was
Ty Cobb.
Ty Cobb, yeah. That's who it was.
Ty Cobb was a piece of shit.
He was so out of shape. Now, look at the game. We love baseball. You know, we love the history of baseball. We love all those guys. But we should be able to differentiate the skill level and the eras. Like, you see the difference from back then to now, right? Do you think you could put Babe Ruth in the batter's box now against these hitters and have him do the same thing he did back then? Mm-hmm. He was facing guys that were throwing like 85 miles an hour.
Okay, so, but I'm going to put the other side of this on there, okay? The balls are different. The bats are different. So if you put Babe Ruth in the modern game with the modern equipment, I think he'd do okay.
He would do home runs.
He's hitting home runs with a real legit leather baseball, like a shitty ball that's probably heavier than anything we've ever thrown in our lives, in parks that were bigger than these parks are now. I would love to put a time machine together and just drop him at home plate in Yankee Stadium and let him hit against any pitcher let him play against Greg Maddux. I would love shit like that to see that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know that would be really cool. Right. That would be awesome. But like, this man is not, he is not the most athletic man in the world. He is you look at the man. Look, I mean, he's got a sweet swing. And he would do okay in today's game. Not that he wouldn't hit the ball, but he wouldn't be what he was back then.
No.
The skill level and the talent level is so much different. Right. I just don't think he could keep up.
I couldn't imagine seeing a 100-mile-an-hour fastball coming at me, man.
It's not fun.
Like,
I've seen 95, scary. And I put it over a left field wall, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. Also, I remember that 400-foot shot, and, you know, I will defend myself by saying that team, they moved their snow fence back for that playoff game because it was not that deep earlier in the season. That's all I'm going to say.
I'm telling you, man, I was sitting on that bench, and I watched that ball come off his bat, and I was like, that's gone. And he thought so, too. rounding first and
hot dogged it.
He had to stay at first.
I started trotting. That was bad.
I thought it had that. I remember that day. It had that sound. You know that ping that
you just
that
know.
Sweet spot. That sweet spot. He hit that sweet spot that I wish I could hit. I remember when we used to go up to the field and I'd pitch to you and we'd do home run derbies. And you could hit that spot. And
400-foot singles, man.
Was that all you got out? Was legit a single?
Yeah, yes. Because I hit the ball and it was gone. It was a 400-foot moonshot. I'm really, trotting and I was almost to first base and it hits the top. Technically, I think that thing came down on the other side of the fence and the kid stuck his hand under the snow fence and picked it up, pretending it didn't go over. That's what I think happened. I'm pretty positive that happened. So like, I tried to speed up, but you know me, I'm not fast.
Was Mark there for that game?
Yes. Yeah, he was in the stands. It was a Legion baseball playoff game.
So Mark is bad luck. Okay. I'm gonna tell you why. I played softball with you guys for how many years?
Oh, many, many.
Never struck out, Corey. Ever. Many guys have tried. So we're playing this game at Potter's, and Mark just happened to be the umpire. 4-2 count. Okay.
Because we did five balls for those of you
Yeah, we played five balls. This ball, I literally felt it go by my shoelaces. What do you think I hear? Strike three! I was so mad at him. I turned around.
It was at his nipples. I don't know what he
was
talking
about. It literally, and this is how bad of a call it was, okay? I went out to play shortstop the rest of the game. And the very next inning, one of the players comes to me and goes, I thought he was your friend. I said, his daughter's my goddaughter. He goes, did he really want to ring you up that bad? I said, I don't know. I wouldn't talk to Mark for three innings. I refused to talk to him.
I don't think I've ever made Corey mad at me. I don't think I've ever made Aaron mad at me. But I made him so mad at that call.
I prided myself for so many years. I think it was like 10, 11 years. I never struck out. Jimmy Watson's tried 100 times. You know, Jason Madrigal's always trying to get me. He's throwing changeups and all kinds of crap. Never struck out. And I feel this ball graze my shoelaces. And he's like, strike three. I'm like, just you got to be shitting me. I just looked at him.
All right, to my defense, in a way, that field
the sun sucked. Was in my eyes.
That field sucked.
Yeah, I hate that field. I absolutely hate that field.
You know, that probably would have been a fight, and over that if I didn't call it, besides between me and you. I know you and I would get over it, obviously.
It was more funny to me. Just like I was like, shocked, man. Like, oh my God, I can't believe he just did that.
I actually legitimately struck out in that field because I couldn't see nothing. So
yeah, well, that's yeah, because I was like
he's like 90.
Two innings later, I think Mark actually did strike out. I'm like, that's what a strikeout's supposed to fucking look like.
All right. So I'm going to hop back out. Steroid users in the Hall of Fame. Babe Ruth would not be Babe Ruth in today's game.
Definitely not.
All right. I give him 100%. I also would, I want the, like, A-Rod. I'd totally put A-Rod in there because he's on that list. I would put A-Rod in there.
I mean, he'll never see it, but I think he should go in. Sheffield's another one.
I love, and this is his last year. So I don't think he'll ever get in by the veterans. I mean, I could be wrong, but
no.
Being a Braves fan, though, I always liked. I mean, I hated him, but I always liked Jimmy Rollins. I always liked David Wright. Do you think David Wright's going to get in on the first time? No,
he hasn't played long. His injuries killed him. David Wright is what Don Mattingly is to the Yankees in New York baseball. His injuries, he would have been a Hall of Famer if he wasn't injured as much as he was. There's too small of a sample size. If they did, you know, an average player per year kind of thing, then yeah. But his career wasn't long enough. He doesn't have the numbers. I don't think he gets in.
And what about like Andy Pettit? This is his sixth year in the thing.
He was HGH. If he didn't have the HGH,
wasn't he HGH?
Yep. If he wasn't HGH, he would have been a surefire Hall of Famer. That guy was money in the playoffs. Fantastic pitcher.
And back to Joe's point, you can't tell the story without them.
Right. You can't. The Yankees do not win the 2009 World Series without him. The Yankees don't win the World Series in 2009 without Andy Pettit. I'm sorry. He was a warrior. He pitched his ass off for them, and he doesn't get in. So the only other interesting one I see on here is Joe Mauer. I think Joe Mauer definitely deserves to be in there. But again, injuries with him. He wasn't as long of a career as he should have been, but I mean, one of the best hitters I've ever seen, especially, and that's rare for a catcher to be a good hitter. You know, besides Piazza and a couple other players, there's not really many catchers that hit as well as Joe Mauer did. I mean, he won a couple batting titles and everything else. So I think those are the guys that should be in, but we'll see what happens.
You think Bartolo Colon deserves? What about that home run he hit?
That was I can watch that movie, that video all the time whenever it comes up because the guy is just, he's entertaining. If there was an entertainment Hall of Fame, Bartolo Colon should be in first ballot. You know, when he hit that home run and the team just abandoned the dugout, gave him the silent treatment, even the broadcasters were like, oh my God, he did it. Like, it was a fantastic video to watch because that's what this game is about. It's about passion. And when the broadcasters are even into it like that, that's amazing because that draws you into it more. And I know I'm getting animated because I love this sport so much. I could talk this for days, but things like that are just amazing to watch and see.
Absolutely. So. And I've listened to, being a truck driver as my primary job, I've listened to a lot of games broadcasts because, you know, on the radio. And even when those guys get into it and, you know, the long line drive going over left field, you know, it gets you going. It gets you fired up.
Yeah.
Another name I want to throw out there really quick before we do our little
fun section. Yeah.
Yes. What about Torii Hunter? I was always a big fan of him defensively, but I don't know about his offensive numbers.
The numbers aren't there offensively. He was a great, great defensive player. And maybe we get into one of these sections, one of these months or weeks where we talk about defensive players, because in my opinion, I love watching a great catch more than I do a home run. I get more excited about defensive stuff like that.
Shortstop. Yeah. You were my shortstop for how long?
Yeah, a long time till I got old. But Torii Hunter. Well, go ahead, say something.
Now you can't play first base. You can't get the, you know.
I can still play first base. I just don't expect me to run around at shortstop like I used to. Man, I used to be all over the place. I love that shit.
I know you were.
But you wouldn't
even vote for 10 guys because you're supposed to vote for 10 guys on a ballot, or you can vote for 10 guys.
You can vote for up to 10. I don't see, this is where I'd be remiss as a writer because it's my responsibility to vote for 10 people. So I would do that just because you're obligated to do so, in my opinion. You don't have to, but if you're bestowed that honor to vote in the people that you think are the best players in the history of the game, you need to at least do your due diligence and vote for 10 players that are in front of you. Unless you can vehemently say, no, these guys do not deserve to get in, then they shouldn't be on the ballot to begin with. Those guys played, they earned the right to get on the ballot. You know, do your job and whatever. And I want to know, I think Derek Jeter's Hall of Fame speech was awesome at the beginning because he said, I want to thank the baseball writers who voted for me, all but one of you. And in my opinion, I'm happy that Mariano Rivera was a unanimous Hall of Famer. He had no doubt deservedly to be so. Ken Griffey Jr. should have been a unanimous Hall of Fame selection. And Derek Jeter is the other one that I think should have done it.
I agree.
Now, everybody's like, oh, Jeter's that. Jeter, if he wasn't on the Yankees, wouldn't be anything. Shut up. That dude was money on the big stage in the playoffs. I mean, way almost 400 career batting average at one point in his career in the playoffs. He's won 5 world championships. Like, you can't say this guy's not a gamer. And to have the 6 most hits all time, that's consistency, man. Like, don't tell me Derek Jeter didn't deserve to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. But there's guys before these guys that should have been unanimous Hall of Fame selections, and they weren't. So
yeah, I don't get the whole I'm not going to vote for him just so they don't get in unanimously. That,
well, a lot of their argument is, well, I know someone's going to vote for him, so I'm going to vote for the other person that I think should be in too, so he gets more support.
So then,
that's bullshit.
So you
vote
think
for the top 10?
They need to vote for the 10. Now, what are some of those names are going to get in then that you don't think they deserve? Then, am I right or wrong?
No, because I don't know exactly how many ballots go out. There's like over 500 people that are voting for these guys. So if you get certain players, like, not everybody's going to vote for the same guy. If they do, good for them. They're on the ballot. There's a reason why they're on there. But, you know, say you get a guy, and I'll use Jimmy Rollins as an example. He's kind of one of those borderline players that was good, but I just don't think he's there. But if you get enough support that he gets in there and he gets the 75% to get in, then he got in. The writers said he should be in there. There's just so many votes out there. You know, that's where it kind of gets polluted, where not everybody gets their votes to get in there. So, you know, it's going to take a bunch of people to figure, well, that Jimmy Rollins should be in there. You know what I mean? So it's hit and miss. But, you know, there's, like I said before, there should have been players that were unanimous before Mariano Rivera in there. You know, there's no reason why they shouldn't be. And I, for years, I was so pissed off that Fred McGriff wasn't in the Hall of Fame. Was not in the Hall of Fame. That dude deserved it. I loved watching him. San Diego. I mean, he was all over the board. Tampa, Toronto. I loved watching him with the Braves, as much as that kills me to say. You know, and he had to get in by a committee. That's bullshit. Because he didn't have the numbers. You talk to me about numbers, and I will always argue this one person. Harold fucking Baines does not deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. He's not a Hall of Famer. But again, that's going to go where, who's on the ballot? He got voted in for whatever freaking reason. And I think it was one of those things. Well, Harold Baines is the only good player on here. Check. That's my opinion. He doesn't deserve to be in there, though. Fuck that.
So that goes with the having to vote for 10. Then,
yeah,
right?
That's what I think it is. Yep. But, you know, now you got all these players that are great. They're getting there. You know, you're going to have just the next few years, all these guys that have retired are going to start showing up, and you're going to have a better chance of people to pull from. So, but Baines, fuck Baines.
All right.
I hate that guy.
So we're getting ready to round
down. Let's do this.
Let's do our fun. All right. So just so you guys know, each week we are going to try to do something kind of sports oriented, but also kind of not sports oriented, just to get people, you know, get people's thoughts. So I'm going to let you go because you've, been to more ballparks at first, but so we're going to do favorite food at a ballpark.
Yes, and you guys comment yours. We'll talk about it if you come in there and tell us what you like. My thing is, I'm a basic bitch. I'm not one of these people that is a huge foodie. My perfect meal at a ballpark is to go sit down with a beer and a hot dog and watch what I'm doing, keep my score in my program, and that's it. But there's certain ballparks you go to where the line is too long at the hot dog stand. So you'll get icy chicken fingers or cheesesteaks or things along those lines. It's great. I'm basic with that stuff. You know, I see like some of these ballparks, like come up with these crazy sandwiches. How the hell are you supposed to eat that sitting in your fucking chair? It's a mess. You get all over yourself. I mean, the perfect meal to me, get a hot dog, get a beer, and sit down and watch the game. And if the hot dog guy comes around, get another one.
A Dodger dog, right? Isn't that one of the big ones? That...
Those Dodger dogs are actually... Have you ever been to L.A.?
No.
All right. So...
We were just talking about how $100 is just a small bet in my ass. I cannot get out to L.A.
The best hot dog I've had at a stadium was in L.A. The Dodger dogs are amazing. They're huge. They're good. And the other place that really had good food was Pittsburgh at PNC Field out there. That was good stuff. So, but yeah, that's me. Basic is hot dogs and beer.
So I have not been to as many baseball games, but I've been more into football games. And of course my Birds, you know, Philly, have been there more than anything else. And I love a good old cheesesteak. Sit down, because at a football game, you don't want to keep a box score. You don't need to keep all that stuff. You're there to jump, cheer, and when the Eagles score on the Niners today, you throw your food up in the air, and then you get mad because you paid $700 for a beer and a cheesesteak. But you can't go wrong. You can't go wrong on game day. You can't go wrong with a nice old football, cheesesteak, greasy. I know, health nut over here, 120 pounds down from where I used to be. But you can't go wrong with a cheesesteak at a nice... No.
Do you have a certain cheesesteak at Philly that you like or no?
You can't... yes and no. I mean, you got the Geno's and Pat's, but that's more for the tourist people to go. You know, they're good. They're delicious. But I don't even mind it right at the ballpark. And people hate it. People are probably going to jump on here and say it's sacrilege. You got to have the cheese whiz. You got to have the cheese whiz cheese, not the real. You don't not need the that real
cheese, sauce. Yep.
Yes. Cheese sauce. But I'm not big into mushrooms, but you can throw the onions, the peppers, all that stuff on there. Not a big fan of mushrooms. But you got to have that cheese whiz. I know some people are going to be yelling at me saying you got to have provolone. I mean, not that that stuff's bad.
Right.
Nothing better than cheese whiz. Watching the Eagles whoop some butt.
Joel said he ordered with or without. So my thing is, when I'm in Philly, whenever I go to an Eagles game or a Phillies game, because I love going to either one, I will go down to Chicken Pete's. I will eat before I get to the ballpark. I love their crab fries, and it's just nice to sit. And the food is so damned expensive at the stadium to eat in a restaurant. I know it's a little more pricey at Chicken Pete's, but you get your food there, you sit, you eat, and then you go back over to the game. And it's just, I don't know, it's just to me, that's what I like to do. It's relaxing. I love, have you ever been in there?
Yes.
It's a nice place to go to. It's beautiful.
Great. It's great. So, I've never been to a Phillies game. So even though being a Braves fan, I'm afraid to go in with my Braves gear. I don't know if it's like the Eagles.
They're brutal, but dude, listen. All right. So I'm going to tell you this. All right. You are a Braves fan.
Yes.
But would you consider yourself just a Braves fan or a baseball fan?
Probably both, but mainly I stick to my Braves. I watch.
Right, but
I went to Yankee Stadium and watched. I went to Mets. I went to the old Chase Stadium, watched St. Louis Cardinals versus the Mets just to go to a baseball game.
So it's baseball, right?
Yeah.
So we are going to drag you to a Phillies game also this year. That you never been in the ballpark then?
No, never been. I've been outside, obviously.
Place is gorgeous. It's gorgeous. So. You and I got to have. Well, I'm not dragging you all over the place. Your wife's going to hate me, but I don't care. We're going on trips, baby.
Sounds good to me, brother.
The stadium down there is incredible. And I'm not a Phillies fan, but I just, you know, that's my National League team I follow, what have you. But I love the ballpark. And I will go to any baseball stadium just to watch a game. I don't care. The Yankees don't have to be playing.
Yeah, I took a bus trip. I'm a big fan of bus trips. You don't have to worry about driving. You don't have to worry about any of that stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, though, can I see you one more time in that nice Eagles?
Oh, you know, it went in my garbage can. It's right here.
You don't need to have it on the. You can take it off the ugly zebra outfit.
Well, no, I'm gonna take the look. So what I did was, I took a sweatshirt, and I literally cut the Eagles thing out the front and put duct tape on there and put it. This is our referee jerseys when we do the flag football tournaments down at the Sports Factory.
Yeah.
So I told Corey the other day, I said, you see the seeds have been planted. He kind of had an idea what I was going to do, but, you know, I don't like to, like I said, it was just a play to screw around. I don't like to blame the refs on everything. Cameron, yeah, Oriole Stadium is beautiful. Yeah, Camden Yards is great too. Mark, we're going to have to take a week where we just travel around and go see stuff because Baltimore's amazing too. It really is a beautiful.
Yeah, I've heard.
I don't like where it is because it's like in Inner Harbor and everything around it is like shit because Baltimore is a terrible city to be in, but it's, you're kind of got to drive through shit to get there. But it's, once you're in that place, it's a beautiful stadium.
Well, that's not Fenway. Fenway, I mean, it's classic when we went for that Spartan race a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
There was no parking or anything like that. That part was the only thing that sucked.
But, right.
So.
Yeah, we got some trips to take, my dude.
Yes, we do.
So.
Any last thoughts, brother?
No. I mean,
this was a nice hour. I hope you guys had a good time.
Thanks yeah, for, me too. I think we'll maybe we'll check out. We got to decide on a time for next week, but we'll make an announcement about that. We have some things going on next week that we have to try to adjust the time. I know I do. So you and I'll get together and figure that out as we get off. But we'll make an announcement. We'll put a video out when we do that. Do you want to catch up later and maybe chat about the SEC rankings later on this evening?
Yeah, well, I'll jump on after. I have a Christmas party here shortly.
Okay.
So,
and Joel, yeah, Joel, we'll get you in here, my dude. I'm so happy to caught up with you again last night and now today. So I know you were late, but we'll get you in here and get you to the party with us.
A couple of you guys, feel free to spread around. I want to say thank you again to Corey and Justin for bringing us on and part of this team. I'm so excited for what the future is going to hold for us. Hope yeah. everyone out there that hears this, whether it's on Spotify after or on any of our platforms, feel free to keep an eye out for when we go live. We would love the comment thing was absolutely awesome. So please keep it coming. And we hope to see you next week. Lastly for me, go Birds.
Go Birds today. I'm hoping your guys win. My guys are off this week. So, again, like Mark said, guys, thanks everybody for coming and hanging out with us. We enjoy it. Always like, follow, share this video so we get some more people in here with us. We'll build the following. I almost said we'll build the Steelers. Because I read Joel's comment as it popped up. So, but yeah, we'd like to build a following and tell your friends to get in here. If someone else has some insight you think they should join us too, let us know. Reach out. We'll set up something. And you know, we're always trying to build this brand for Corey and Justin and just expand this as much as we can. So, you know, the more people that are in here, the better off it's going to be for everybody. We like to, you know, have you guys drive the conversation. We bring up the topics, but please feel free to chat away and we'll go from there.
Sounds good, my friends.
All right. Well, thank you, Marky. I will see you. I'll talk to you later on, I'm sure.
So. Yeah, bro.
All right. Later, but everybody, bro. Everybody, thanks for hanging out with us. We appreciate it.
Go Birds.